You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Do not get me started.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Do not get me started. This now leaves the Jets on the outside looking in.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, 19-year MLB veteran CC Sabathia, Indianapolis Colts head coach Frank Reich. Coming up, two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long, plus host of Fox's The Masked Dancer, Craig Robinson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Chris Robinson's going to be joining us. Funny individual. Was he in the office scene, the basketball pickup game? He was in that scene, right?
I'm the wrong person to ask.
I keep
about
saying
the
Chris.
Office.
I'm sorry, because Chris Long's coming on. Really?
I've never seen it.
Okay, he was. It's confirmed. Yeah. Craig Robinson that pickup basketball.
Yeah, missed that.
Oh my gosh, that's in the back. It's in the back area of the warehouse at Dunder Mifflin loading dock. Oh my gosh, just fantastic. So Craig Robinson will join us.
Craig Robinson.
He's got the new Masked Dancer. You know, there's a Masked Singer. Ken Jeong is. Now as the I can see your voice.
Yes.
And now the Masked Dancer.
I'll be hosting the Masked DJ coming soon.
By the way,
in the spring.
My children consume all of these programs. Not some of them.
They're amazing.
All of them.
Did you guys finally watch the Masked Singer finale? Who ended up winning?
I shouldn't say. I mean, we are a week clear, but
I actually saw
a week. I mean, come on, people. You're still.
Remember when.
Is it Busta
Rhymes? Remember when.
Was a bust.
Remember that, because again, I always with my kids, like, you know, I feel for them when they watch this and they're on the edge of their seats and it's Paul Anka who is revealed. And it's just like, my God,
Paul Anka.
By the way, and the answer is like, who is that? And I'm like, well, he did the Tonight Show theme, right? That's no good. And then it just lands on, because this is true. I say to them, your grandfather, may he rest in peace. My dad hated Paul Anka. I have no idea why he hated Paul Anka, but I'm like, so Papa despised him, you know? So then when my daughter, after the first week, she comes in and I'm like, who got revealed tonight? And she's 7 years old. She goes, somebody named Rhymes. And I said, Shonda? Like the person who puts on, you know, hit television shows? And she didn't know. I looked it up. It was Busta.
Ooh, ah.
The last one, the man. Last, the
got
last,
too old and
I just, it was another Rhymes. That was the finale.
I love that story.
Oh. Yeah. Gotcha.
Just then we'll leave it at that.
All right, cool.
Okay. you know, I'm thrilled to have this guy on. I just love what he's been doing in his career, playing and now talking about the ball. He is Chris Long, two-time Super Bowl champion back here on the show. How are you, Chris?
Good, man. You got Craig Robinson coming on.
I do.
Dude, that's awesome. One time, Craig Robinson stood next to me at Bonnaroo.
Okay. I'll bite. What happened?
I didn't say anything to him.
Why?
I was, you know, he had an aura. I didn't want to bother him.
Huh.
So he was watching a show. I don't remember which show, but he was really enjoying himself.
Okay, but, you know, you don't go up to somebody and just say, anytime I see somebody whose work I greatly admire or I'm a fan of, as long as they're not eating or peeing, I will say something to this individual. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I've done it before.
Right.
And there's certainly nuances to when and where you do and don't. But I look at it as a victory if I walk away and don't say anything to somebody I really like.
Okay. All right. So what's your favorite Office episode, Chris, if I'd ask?
Man, I knew you were going to ask me that.
There you go.
And I really, I'm not going to do any absolutes with the show with a following that cultish. So I'm totally taking the piss on this.
You are
but
too
I love
smart.
Me some Daryl, bro.
Okay.
I mean, he's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, as I was talking about the pickup basketball scene is one of the greatest scenes of all time, you know?
Dude, the warehouse guys were my favorite.
It's just, it is too good. And, you know, I was actually using Office memes to describe my mood watching the Jets win a football game this past weekend, you know. And, you know, I don't even know how to handle that. And I feel bad, Chris, because I know these are grown-ass men who want to win football games. And I know Sam Darnold is a wonderful human with a ton of talent that has not been served. And I feel terrible rooting like this. I wonder what do the players think, do you think?
I think every player, we talk about this with Greg Williams, right? Like, people were like, oh, and Greg Williams is my guy. He was a coach I really enjoyed playing for, but, you know, he made a call that was questionable and they fired him over it, and people said he was tanking. I'm like,
no,
what does a guy who's likely going to be gone with the whole group in a month have to serve, you know, the Jets' future plans? Like, it just makes no sense. And it's even more the same thing with players. It makes no sense. So I'm really happy for those players. But for you guys, Jets fans,
yes,
if Trevor Lawrence is everything he says he's going to be, can you imagine just the way you guys beat that team? You iced the game with a 37-year-old running back who's one of the GOATs,
yep,
with two sets of downs, not one set of downs. You had to get two of them. The Rams had two chances to stop. You get the ball back. Your punter made a game-saving tackle on a return. Game-saving. Higby blocking the back. Akers touchdown call back. There were so many things that happened in that game. I mean, can you imagine if Sunshine wins a Super Bowl in Jacksonville? That punter is the reason you guys didn't in New York. I'm not trying to go here, Rich, but just playing this thing out. Here's your saving grace. The Jags are going to win this weekend.
Yeah, the boy.
All right.
And I'll be honest with you, this is one of the reasons why I reached out to you. Okay? I'll be honest with you, Chris. I do love having you on, and, you know, I'll have you anytime.
Yeah.
But I knew this was your take because, you know, I was tweeting at Big Cat, at our friend Daniel, who I like to refer to him. I'm probably the only person in our business who does that.
Oh, Dan.
Where he says, do Jets fans still want to draft a QB at two? I feel like I'd rather keep building the line and roll the dice with Darnold in good protection. I wrote back, I'm not underestimating your Bears and Trubisky's flair for the dramatic in week 16 versus Jacksonville, Daniel. And then I just that say, I hit send, and I felt proud of myself. I felt good about myself. It is therapeutic. I'm definitely a shell of a man who's definitely very vulnerable right now.
As you should be.
Thank you. And then you respond. You come in over the top. The Jags, you retweet that. The Jags will deliver sunshine to the Meadowlands this weekend. Book it.
It just makes too much sense. First of all, I think that's a competitive football game. And when they made the switch to Minshew here recently, I was like, this is proof that they're not tanking because this guy's, you know, serviceable at the very least and lightning in a bottle. And just Chicago, the way they are, I mean, they've really gotten their fan base's hopes up over the past couple weeks, albeit for nothing probably. But, like, it would just be so 2020 for Jacksonville to shoot themselves in the foot proverbially and get this win. And Minshew is the one who delivers it. But, you know, the craziest thing is you guys picked a weird weekend because Fields looked really human against Northwestern. And now it's like double trouble for you guys. I would love if you guys stay in two.
Okay.
For you guys to give Sam a shot with competent play calling, like an Eric Bieniemy and Sam Darnold. You know, I call me a sucker. I kind of believe in it.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing that I was so torn about because Darnold is a face of a franchise you want to have, certainly in New York. And if, let's just put, I'm not ready to go here, but I'll do it anyways. I'm just, honestly, I'm still hanging my hopes on Minshew Mania bursting out. But in all seriousness, that Darnold looked really good this weekend. I mean, he was making some throws.
Oh, he looked great.
And if he does survive all of this in New York and does actually start to win games and put the Jets in the playoffs, he could be the perfect guy for New York, that he would shrug off all of this, right?
I think he's, I do want to give him credit because I think we do this with rookie quarterbacks and the leashes are getting shorter in the era of, like, you know, the Kyler Murrays of the world where you can just, you know, burn your draft capital that you spent because with the new CBA and the way things are set up, you can, you know, first round top five quarterbacks are more disposable and people have started to win that way, right?
Yes.
Sam Darnold has done a really good job of staying cool through all this. And I don't think that's for nothing. I also think that I think even football fans who are so temperamental realize how bad the situation's been. We do this thing where a Jets player goes somewhere else or a player that spent some time on a dysfunctional team goes somewhere else and they thrive. And we say that was Adam Gase's fault, but we don't want to give Sam Darnold the same benefit of the doubt sometime. And I really do believe that whatever you're seeing now, he's got better in him. You see those, like, his best plays? That should be the idea. Let's get those out of him, you know, on a regular basis. And how do we do that? We bring somebody in to call the plays. And there's no better GM to have that number two pick to play with than Joe Douglas.
Yeah, I mean, talk to me. Talk to me about him, Chris, because, look, I want somebody like you if I got to choose somebody second overall here.
And, well, I don't know. I would have taken me about 15. But in the draft it wasn't the worst thing in the world.
What I mean, Chris, is
I would have took Calais Campbell.
You know,
being Chris Avery, we weren't bad either. That's
that famed long family humility. But look, here.
No, ain't no humility there. But I think Joe Douglas, I think he's not a guy who's going to be afraid of, what if I make this move? You know, is this a splashy enough move? Is this, you know, Joe Douglas is a lineman, man. He's down to earth GM. He's a football player. If I had a tournament of Mortal Kombat with all the GMs in the league, he's coming out. No question. And I think his first pick has gone really well. I love watching Mekhi Becton play. And when you talk to Joe before that draft, he knew, I think, right away, you know, what kind of guy he wanted to infuse in that Jets culture. And I think he's going to make the right decision. He didn't get enough credit for some of the great decisions he made as a team with Howie. You know, and if you're a Philly fan and you're listening, I mean, Dorsey's come in and been a consultant. So I think Howie's going to work well as a team there too, flip side of that coin. But Joe Douglas is a great GM, and there's nobody I would be he's just not going to let the pressure affect him in making that decision.
But why then? Let me ask you this then, Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. Why hasn't Gase been let go? I mean, what point is it to keep somebody around 0-13, 1-13 now? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's so obvious that this is over. And in the meantime, if you are trying to get Sam Darnold the proper weaponry around him or the best possibility to win around him, how do you trade Jamal Adams at the outset of a season and not when there's a draft to actually pick more players prior to this season, which leads to an 0-13? How is Le'Veon Bell just allowed to walk out and stroll to a Super Bowl team? I mean, you know, I want to believe, because again, Daniel Jeremiah is somebody who I love as well and knows Joe and says the same things to me about this general manager. But I am.
Well, do you think Le'Veon Bell or Jamal Adams are the difference in you guys making the playoffs?
No, they are not. But what I'm saying is that if Jamal Adams is going to go, has to go, why are we doing it right at the before season? Like, what does that do for Sam Darnold now?
I think you'd also need to ask, you know, the player side of that. I mean, if a guy doesn't want to be there, he doesn't want to be there. And I love Jamal Adams' game. I mean, this guy, he's making defensive linemen jealous. He's about to have double digits.
Right.
As a DB. I mean, it's incredible. The guy is awesome. But if the guy doesn't want to be somewhere, you know, it's like we turn around and we get mad at the GM. You know, the oldest adage in sports is like, if you don't want to be here, leave. That's such a cliche, right? But then when a coach or a GM does it, and it wasn't like it was some huge contentious thing between, I don't think, Joe and and Jamal. But I mean, if a guy doesn't really want to be there, good luck. And he's helping Seattle win. And I think that the window for the Jets winning is a little ways off. So, I mean, I really do believe that Joe's the right guy to make these decisions. And if they're there at two, I don't hate them sticking with Sam. And that would be a move that would tell me the GM's not panicking, you know, and trying to just do the popular thing. You're taking a chance. And I think a lot of that's going to come down to who do you bring in as a head coach too. Now, we're doing the thing where we're firing Adam Gase, and I don't like doing that.
Of course not.
I mean, that's probably happening, right?
Oh, please. I mean, Chris, honestly, let's please. I mean, it's stunning that it hasn't happened yet, you know, and that's what leads people
to
think.
Don't you guys want to lose games? You walked right into that one. You're telling me you want to lose games and you can't stand Adam Gase. No.
I don't thirst.
Why fire him with a month left and then, you know, because look how the interim coaches have done this year.
Because if there is credence to the fact that Trevor Lawrence would want to force his way somewhere else because the Jets clearly don't know what they're doing, it all has to be all buttoned up. They got to button this thing up. And I know you love Greg.
Time.
Oh, my gosh.
You got time. You guys, understandably, are a panicky bunch. Like, you're not going anywhere in a hurry. Why are you in such a hurry to get there?
Chris, I know I look youthful on television, and yeah. I acted on, but I'm literally, when it comes to the Jets, a 150-year-old man. I really, you know, they have aged me at 3X because the trapdoor always opens up, and this last week 15 is exact proof of it. I mean, and you even didn't want to go there, as you said, but went there with every possible wild-ass scenario from punters stopping touchdowns and holding penalties that are ridiculous and all that sort of thing that actually led to these events from happening. So,
I mean, it's wild. I love thinking about those butterfly effect issues. Shout out to Ashton Kutcher in that film that I've never seen. But and the Bears, too. Shout out to the Bears who might fall. Ashton Kutcher's a big Bears fan. And they might fall.
By the way, I don't
know. It's all making sense.
I don't know if you did. I don't know if you saw this or not. I'll bring it up too, and I'll give my producer Don Bowie a heads up to pull up those responses that I got from athletes when I tweeted out what after the Jets lost by 37 in Seattle, what must it be like on the plane ride home?
It's bad.
Okay, like what it's must bad. It be like? And like I said to all the football players out there, you know, who are seeing this, how do you respond to me about what it's like on that plane flight home? One Kyle Long responded on Twitter. He responded with just a photograph of a gummy bear. Chris,
I don't know what he's talking about. But also, I'm the right. I'm like, I have a PhD in those flights home, man. And a PhD. And do you know how many of those flights home I had from the West Coast? Because we were in the NFC West,
we were in St. Louis, right?
And all our flights were like 4 hours out there because you know you guys don't think about the jet stream and such. But
yes.
I don't know which direction it goes, but every time you're like, oh, my God, this is such a long flight. It always goes – I felt like it always went longer after the game, after you lost. But I'm just telling you, those players, you know, as fans, you get – a lot of those players aren't going to be there next year, you know. And when you're on a bad team, there's so much turnover. You think they care about anything but winning. It's Christmas week. The season's winding down. That is a huge weight off their backs. And I know May, who's been a really good piece for you guys,
I know.
One of the people who was most visibly upset by the way they blew that Raiders game, you know, to make big plays down the stretch in a game where you get that first win, it's not for nothing for those players. Nobody wants to be that 0-16 team. One year in St. Louis, we were a fake field goal in Detroit away from being that team. I'll never forget Greg Camarillo, I think it was, and that long touchdown to keep the Miami Dolphins from going 0-16. Like, this means something. You don't want to be that team.
Chris, I appreciate the time. Green Light with Chris Long. Great guests, man, and a great pod that you're doing. And that's where all podcasts can be. It's you can acquire it where you listen to all your podcasts. So the latest episode, you had Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce, Ryan Kerrigan, Zach Moss. Good
and
stuff,
DK
man.
Metcalf.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, we yeah. It's shouting out my boy Giovanni in Philly, who has who has a rare condition, dealing with some surgeries over the holidays, and
your co-host.
Fans are going to step up. But we got fans, we got players from all over the league, and check his GoFundMe out. It's at the link on my podcast.
Yeah, there's a GoFundMe for him. He's a 13-year-old Eagles diehard. He hosts
great
a Philly called Eagles Brawl. Let's give it a shout out.
Yeah.
And everybody, yeah. So where can people go find it? Gio's GoFundMe page? Where can they do that?
It is. I put it on my Twitter under Ryan Kerrigan tweet just a couple minutes ago. Okay. You can also find it tomorrow morning when that pod drops in the description there. He is an awesome, awesome young media member, man. He's going to be great by the time he's an adult. He's going to be taking all our jobs.
I love it. I will look for him in the, I'll have my head on a swivel. Let's put it that way.
Yes, sir. You got to.
Hey, man. Happy holidays to you and yours. Let's do that. Would you mind? I'm going to have you. I'll have you back on in January. I
Anytime.
Want to talk more about the league. And I appreciate, you know, that again, as you pointed out, the butterfly effect, or again, I'm a shell of a man. I should take the positives that the general manager is the right guy, and that Minshew Mania is going to break out on week 16 anyway. So we got
These
that.
Are all
for.
Things that are certainties, Rich. Be positive.
Take care, Chris. You'd be
all
well,
right,
brother.
Take it easy.
The one and only Chris Long.
Funny.
He is so funny.
He really doesn't know about the gummies.
Wouldn't know about that.
Wouldn't know about the gummies.
That's amazing.
Lies. All lies.
Fantastic. All right. Craig Robinson's about to join us. Even better. The host Bonnaroo. Of The Masked Dancer on Fox. The funny Craig Robinson. Oh, we got the time machine. We're going to hit the time machine too with him, right?
Yes.
Fantastic. That's next. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Sunday Night Football is going to be the Packers and the Titans coming up on Sunday. Packers-Titans, a big Week 16 contest. It's going to be a dynamite game where Matt LaFleur takes the team that he left to coach the Packers to try and knock them down a peg, with Indianapolis having taken on the Steelers earlier in the day, and the AFC South is on the line right there. The Packers need to keep winning to hold the Saints at bay to make sure that the NFC road to the Super Bowl goes through Lambeau Field, which would have happened last year if the Seahawks had scored a touchdown in game 256 against San Francisco. As you know, the Packers were one inch shy of having the one seed last year. So much on the line, everybody. So much on the line. Have playoff scenarios, clinching scenarios come out today?
There are some, yes.
There are some, okay.
We'll hit those at the end.
Our radio audience is about to return. Once they do, we will welcome in our next guest, who I'm very pleased to be talking to right here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've already had Rod Woodson, CC Sabathia, Frank Reich, Chris Long, as we welcome our radio audience back to our simulcast here on the Rich Eisen Show. My children, as I told you, these shows are on all throughout the house, and I see him invariably as a guest judge on The Masked Singer or on Ken Jeong's offshoot of I Can See Your Voice. Now my kids are like, Dad, we gotta make sure that we are ready for The Masked Dancer. Okay. And the host of that show, which premieres on Sunday after the NFL on Fox, is none other than Craig Robinson here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Craig?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
It's a pleasure talking to you, sir. A pleasure.
Likewise. Shout out to your family, man, your kids.
Oh, Craig, you have no idea. I am getting considerable daddy points just merely talking to you right now, Craig.
Right on.
Oh, my gosh. So, is this essentially basically a bunch of famous people masking up similar with the big heads, the big outfits, and just dancing? What is this going to be here? What do we have here?
That is exactly what it is.
Okay.
Except for, they have choreographed dances and they have other dancers around them. So, it's actually quite entertaining.
Okay.
Everybody's not, an astute Fred Astaire type or for you younger kids,
yes.
Everybody's not a great dancer, But you know, it's different levels, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
I didn't know how that we were going to do it with the dancing, mm-hmm. and people even ask me, how are you supposed to tell somebody dancing? But singing is a whole different story.
Right.
But dancing, you know, it's a whole big.
And so they're and then they're gonna just disguise the voices too. Like it's the same thing. It's just instead of singing, it's dancing. That's basically what we got here.
Exactly right. Huh. Except for there's some extra clues in the clue package.
Okay.
There's clues in the way that people dance. You know, and there's also when they ask them questions.
Yes.
There's a game we play called Word Up.
Okay.
Where they get one word. Person says one word in their real voice, so you get to hear their real voice, and also the word that they say is a clue. So it's clues all over the place, so it makes it fun and challenging.
All right, who are the judges? Is it similar? Who do we got as the judges, Craig?
The only similar overlap is Ken Jeong.
Of course.
Of course.
Everywhere.
He's
everywhere.
Who was? Oh, he's everywhere. That's his night. Oh, my. He's got like three shows or whatever.
So, and, yeah. I mean, because it's funny, Craig, we had Joel McHale on the show recently. And, you know, my kids, again, they can't get enough of Ken Jeong. My children can't get enough of Ken Jeong. So
Ken Jeong connects with the children.
He does.
On another. That's what everybody tells me about their kids. My kids love Ken. So Fox obviously is in tune with that. Speaking of Joel McHale,
yes.
Joel and Ken are hosting New Year's Eve on Fox, and I will be with my band. We'll be like the house band.
Okay.
So check that out. But to finish the question, let me just say
yes.
The rest of the judges are Brian Austin Green,
okay.
Ashley Tisdale,
okay.
and Queen Paula Abdul.
Oh, okay. So that she's kind of like a legacy for shows like this in a way on Fox. All right, so...
exactly.
I gotcha. And Brian Austin Green, I believe, was a masked singer. Spoiler alert. And so I will, again, ask you the same question I asked Joel McHale. Craig, my children are 12, 9, and 7. At what point do I show them Ken Jeong hopping out of the back of the car in The Hangover? At what point do I tell them about it? What do I do?
I would say it's a 12-year-old, a boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
Okay. So in 3 years, he can watch
three.
The rest of them got to wait.
I don't even have the heart to tell him. You know what I mean? Like that it happened. You know what I mean? I just can't even tell him, you know?
Hey, Rich.
Yeah, Craig.
Look, let me give you – watch this video called What's It Gonna Be with Ken Jeong.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to get to see a whole other side of him.
What's
it? Not Hangover-esque, but it's fun and funny. But it is a risque song.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, just make sure that the YouTube filters are on prior to me checking that one out. Okay. Very, very good.
Do that.
Okay. Very, very good. And when is it appropriate to show them the hot tub time machine? Craig, what do you think about that one?
That's going to have to be a college graduation gift.
I've got Craig Robinson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so you're a Southsider, correct? You're a Southsider from the great city of Chicago. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Okay, you're a 49-year-old man, so I imagine the last dance that was on in during the spring about the Jordan years, that speaks to you. I imagine whole...
That was must-see viewing. I haven't made an appointment to watch something on television, and I don't know how long.
Right.
But that was absolutely must-see viewing. And it was mid-pandemic, you know, right in the pandemic. So we would meet at my buddy's house in social distance. It was the weirdest, funnest time.
I mean, what about just that team just going through it and, you know, obviously knowing what the Bulls were and what they have since become and what they are. That is just what a run. That is one of the greatest sports teams of all time. Did you go to any games at the old obviously United Center, but obviously Chicago Stadium? Did you attend any of those games?
What a gut check to find out that they had another year they could have been together.
I know.
What a slam in the gut that was. It was like, what? I went to one game
mm-hmm.
at at Madison Square. I'm sorry, what's it called?
The
Chicago Stadium.
Yeah, in the old Chicago Stadium. Yeah.
I went to one game, and the exact game it was, Jordan just, they were playing the Hawks, but Spud Webb was the current dunk champion. Jordan was coming back. It was the first game back from his, I think he had broke his foot or something. It was a foot injury.
Uh-huh.
Whatever he did to his foot. His first came back, and I remember Spud Webb, again, current dunk champion, got a fast break. And, I mean, we were all just like bated breath, and he laid it up. And, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, my gosh. That was before, obviously, all the championship years. I mean, that was at the very birth of all of it. Exactly. And so what about your game? Craig, do you have any basketball game? Because I'm kind of leading towards one of my favorite scenes in the history of The Office, which was the pickup basketball game on the loading dock.
I watched a scene, I think a 10-minute scene of that recently, and I forgot I hit that long jumper off the backboard. So that was it was a line drive, but right. I hit it, baby.
So that was it. That was for real. That wasn't planned. That was just like teed up, let it fly, Craig Robinson, and then just like, okay, we'll keep that. Is that how that works?
Bro, that's exactly what we were just playing. That's what made it even more fun.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, walk me through that scene. Walk me through the scene, Craig. Seriously, start to finish here.
One of the things that, first of all, did they show the part? They showed when when Michael Scott threw the ball all the way down the court and hit, right? That happened. There was one scene where I was supposed to make the shot and then come and me and Patrice O'Neal give each other like a celebratory cool handshake. So I missed the jumper twice. Yeah, I did. I just laid it in and did that. But, it was all just playing back and forth, man, just and getting whatever they could.
You can't tell me, though, that Leslie David Baker, who played Stanley, really dribbles like that, though, right? What do you think?
Pretty sure that's how he dribbles.
No, come on. No. That had to be like, let's figure out a way for Stanley to dribble like that. Are you serious? That's how he dribbles?
That's all I remember. I don't remember him ever holding the ball and actually dribbling correctly. And so that's all I ever saw. He might have been adding some to it with putting his hand behind his back and stuff.
One of the greatest handles of all time. One of the greatest handles of all time.
In my day, I was more of a rebounder.
Okay.
Take it back up strong.
Okay, you're more of an Oakley guy, is what you're saying, to go
exactly.
Real old school here. You're more of an Oakley guy, and you didn't have your handle. Oh, my gosh. That was just – I'm just wondering where they just came up with the idea of, let's have a pickup basketball game, and let's just do it. That had to be – that's incredible.
I mean, I can just imagine what the writers will be doing today. Can you imagine a Zoom office meeting? Us working from home? Oh, my God. Can you imagine what would Creed's background be in his house? It'd be like he accidentally see the Dexter table or whatever it is.
Which character would forget that they left the camera on and they thought the camera's off? Which one would that be?
Creed. Oh, Meredith. Meredith is there with topless. Or pulling a Jeffrey Toobin. Who knows what's going on?
I think we've just come up with something, Craig. I got to be honest with you. At least for charity. You know what I mean? I think we just came up with something here.
And it'll be different than the table reads. A lot of people are doing these table reads.
Right.
We could actually do an episode.
Like a new one, an office Zoom, a Dunder Mifflin Zoom. Meeting.
My goodness.
Oh my God! I think we just stumbled on something. Cause you'd do it, right? You for charity, you'd do it. Of course, you'd do it. Right?
I would do it in a heartbeat.
I mean, what do you think of when you watch these episodes back? I'm sure you've just stumbled across them every now and then.
It just takes you back down memory lane. You know, it's I don't usually watch them, but then when I, like you said, when I do the other day. I probably watched five in a row, just accidentally. I was in Atlanta and just in a hotel room, and they were running on Comedy Central, I think. And the next thing you know, I'm just stuck watching The Office. Like, wow, this is crazy.
Wow. It's great.
And it's an honor to be a part of that. You know, I look at the ones and I'm like, I've always felt like, man, what in the world? How did I get on this? I'm looking at the ones I'm not on. Like, mm-hmm. this is amazing. This show is amazing. So, yeah, man, I love it. And to see that kids are, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, this is my third time watching it all the way through. Or kids are, you know, finding it. It's super dope, man.
Well, I mean, again, and Craig Robinson here on the Rich Eisen Show, and you're just stone-faced look, okay, where you would just stare at anybody who was saying the most hilarious things. I mean, did you ever break? I mean, at any point in time?
There was some breakage, for sure.
The breakage.
But that's one of the things about the show that I truly loved, is that I got to play deadpan. Because I love that kind of humor, you know, the Leslie Nielsen, Peter Sellers, Harvey Korman, people like that, the straight man. I love that.
Leslie Nielsen, Harvey Korman, those are great names you just named right there, Craig. That's great.
And I would see those guys and just that, and that's what would draw me. I'm seeing that, you know, how are you staying serious through all this ridiculousness, you know? So that's always been I've been drawn to that.
Well, I mean, again, I think you're 49, I'm 51, so we're of the same age. You're mentioning Harvey Korman from the Carol Burnett Show, and he would crack up all the time. Like he could not keep a straight face ever. Certainly, like when Tim Conway was doing his thing. So, who was the one who
This is the wicked.
Exactly, and there's a great. Everyone should look up the dentist sketch from that. It's a perfect example if you want to go to YouTube. So, who was the one that was easiest to crack up then? From The Office.
Oh, the easiest. Oh, God. Let me see.
Who just couldn't keep it together?
Oh, God. I can tell you that Oscar was the one that was hard. He like everybody was would try to get Oscar. He was hard to get. But you know what? Dwight and Jim. Yes. They would be busting all the time.
Is that right?
All the time, yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Think about it. Like they really got to be the silliest,
right?
Especially Dwight. So he would be doing these crazy things. Like I remember one time when he was doing on a tightrope, and he was trying to balance, and you know the tightrope just kept going back and forth, and then he would just crack up. So we would have to do it again. But yeah, Rain would crack up pretty good.
Craig Robinson here on The Rich Eisen Show. The Masked Singer, after its premiere this Sunday, the show's going to move to Wednesdays at 8 on Fox, starting on Wednesday, January 6th. The Masked Dancer, I knew I would screw that up once. The Masked Dancer premieres this Sunday after NFL on Fox. And again, it starts Wednesdays at 8 Eastern on Fox after the calendar turns to 2021 on Wednesday, January 6th. Congrats on the gig. And I will be there. I will be watching. My kids will – they honestly – Because I'm imagining you're right there in on a Wednesday night, which my kids are used to watching Fox for The Masked Singer and everything else. So congrats on The Masked Dancer.
Hey, thank you so much, Rich. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Right here. Let's stay in touch. That's Craig Robinson here on The Rich Eisen Show, at Mr. Craig Robinson on both Twitter and Instagram. I think we just came up with a great idea.
It seems too, too easy. To it has to happen.
I mean, I know some people good put not to happen. Some of these together. This could be
no,
done.
But again, as he's pointing out, there have been casts brought back together to read a script, a table read, as he says,
right.
of a movie or a TV show.
Right, but okay. They're just in sweatpants sitting in the
right.
living room.
No, that's fine. But
yeah.
Which is the way, so if you could construct a fake Dunder Mifflin Zoom meeting... Oh, my God. That would break the internet and raise as much money for charity as they possibly can if they did that. You know, work reviews, right? Peer reviews conducted. And they zoom in one at a time, and then there's one full meeting. That's a winner.
I think he was right. The Zoom backgrounds of some of these characters.
Oh, my God. That's
be...
the comedy, too.
That's
and
the comedy. Right?
I didn't think that, you know, that they... mistakenly hit the mute button and then unmuted and the camera's on and they thought it was off and all of that be amazing. And by the way, because there may be an I in Rich and Eisen, we are a team player here on NBC, on Peacock, here on this streamer. Easy for us to say here. We should mention it. Starting January 1st, 2021, the exclusive streaming home of The Office. Right here on Peacock.
Synergy.
A little something for the effort. You know what I mean?
maybe I'll dive in.
You need to, bro.
Don't go higher register. Don't go higher register. You should just say, I'm going to dive in. You should dive in. Oh, my God. So you've really never...
I've never seen a single second.
Is Sarah a fan of The Office?
You've never seen a single second of The Office.
Neither have I. Never seen an episode.
Really?
Well, you have seen a single second of it because you've seen so much... Well, that's derivative of the mock documentary.
The gifs are all over.
No, what I'm just saying, so many other shows based on the mock. Look, technically, this is derivative of like Spinal Tap, a fake documentary about a group of people covering them and then seeing them behind the scenes and whatever.
True.
And so. Them addressing the camera, that was the original idea. And then obviously there was no director or anything like that of the fake documentary. But
right. They just kept the cameras
right.
on.
And that they are just directing the, you know, their 2 cents at the camera and it's chronicling The Office.
It's funny.
And it's amazing. It's so funny. Oh, my God. It's so funny.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. So.
And they would keep it going and it still was fresh. I don't think they'll ever get back. I don't know if they'll ever get back together. The number of times that we've mentioned it to anybody that's been here, they're all like, "Yeah, we'd be up for it." I just don't know if Steve Carell would be.
Yeah, a lot of those guys went on. They're big stars now too. Like, you know.
Krasinski?
Yeah, that guy's blown up.
But I think maybe like a Zoom for charity.
That's
like
funny.
A fake Dunder Mifflin Zoom for charity.
That's really funny.
We just workshopped it. Boom. That's a show.
Producer credit?
To use a Seinfeld line. That's a show.
What'd you do today?
Not yet.
I got in my car and came to work. Boom. That's a show right there.
Not yet.
Why am I watching it?
First two seasons on Peacock are free. How about that?
Boom.
Starting January 1st.
Speaking my language.
Happy
Mike.
New Year.
Free. I mean, free.
Happy New Year.
I mean,
okay, playoff clinching scenarios for week 16 in the National Football League. We will hit that as we head on out the door on this 5-wide edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Sunday Night Football, Titans Packers, as I mentioned to you. That's a big game. Titans will know if the Colts had already lost in Pittsburgh earlier in the day or if they hand Pittsburgh a fourth straight loss. Titans will need a win to stay in first place with Week 17 right around the corner. And then Green Bay will know if the Saints will have already won on Christmas on Friday. Already known for 2 days whether the Saints had already won right behind them or if they're going to need to keep on winning to clinch the one seed, which I believe in is, in fact, the clinching scenario for Green Bay that we're about to talk about when the radio audience returns here on the Rich Eisen Show. You have all the playoff clinching scenarios over there, Christopher? Or I can call them up right now as well. I'm sure I must have it in my inbox. Don, do we have all of these, too? Are we set with the playoff?
Andrew is tweeting them out.
Okay, I've got some. Oh, here we go.
I love these.
Hold on a minute. I think I got the playoff clinching scenarios.
These guys tie.
I've got them.
Got some for the Dolphins.
I've got them.
Oh, yeah,
I've got them all.
There you go.
The Cowboys need. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what we're talking about. Never mind.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio audience.
There's so many.
By the way, I looked at my Twitter feed in the commercial break, as I always do, and then on my phone. Which one do you want? The news from the phone or my Twitter feed?
Phone.
Phone. My phone buzzed about 5 times during the Craig Robinson interview.
Did you get another dog?
Nope. Not yet. It is a FaceTime from Cooper.
Oh.
It's his NBA Fantasy Basketball League tonight.
Oh, nice.
We decided to not have the computer randomly choose the order. We do it out of a hat.
Okay.
He wanted to let me know that he has cut out all of the names of the teams on pieces of paper.
All right.
Can he do it by himself now?
Ooh.
I don't know. I think I need to review the process. I need to make sure.
And the number one pick is Cooper Eisen. Hey, weird.
Need to make sure that, you know, that, well, at least at the very least, that he puts his name card in the freezer
Right.
Dad's got to teach
you
him the old trick.
The super team, bro.
You know, I got to put it in the freezer so when he reaches in, he knows which car to pick out.
A little ding on the side.
Yeah. Son, yeah. Son, that's how Dad's favorite team that he is now ostracized himself from got Patrick Ewing. I'm teaching them the ropes. That's why I've got the best dad of the year sign. So he'll have to wait till we get home. Freeze. Son, put it in the fridge. Just text him back. Put it in the freezer. And like, what are you talking about there? On my Twitter feed, I noticed this because Rich Eisen, social media grandmaster, tweeted the famed Jay-Z wincing gif in response to a viewer of our program, or certainly our Twitter feed, that already has for the last 2 hours posted my take on Monday Night Football. My takeaway. One of them was that I'm concerned about the Steelers. This video is that I'm taking from this hope that Gardner Minshew can do his thing through the Bears defense the same way Ryan Finley did it around the Steelers defense. And I'm like, why can't James Robinson run through the Bears defense? This viewer said James Robinson is apparently considerably hurt his ankle and might not play. And thus you put that that gif. So good choice.
Thank you.
He's like, who's going to tell him that James Robinson got hurt and not play? And then you're like, yee.
Not I.
James Robinson has been snubbed for the Pro Bowl.
There are a lot of snubs,
dude,
man.
Well, there's always snubs. But, I mean, James Robinson, how do you not reward an undrafted rookie with his year with a Pro Bowl performance when two guys who you take instead, Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, terrific. This kid's got more yards than them. Derrick Henry, you can't have an argument with.
No.
But how does Robert Tonyan not make it?
I mean...
Over who, though?
Who's the tight end?
Evan Ingram, who, as an Evan Ingram fantasy owner, will tell you he's terrible. Should not be a Pro Bowler. One touchdown. Tonyan, 10. What are we doing?
Tonyan has 10 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Wow. Rhymes with Funyan, huh?
Had no idea.
Okay, we've got playoff clinching scenarios. Playoff clinching scenarios.
Oh, music?
Playoff clinching. Of course.
Oh,
what are you talking about? Of course I want music.
Hit the music.
Of course I want. Please hit it. I can't even talk until I get there. Here we go. Don, put it up because I put up what you got there, and I'll follow. Cleveland Browns. You get the Cleveland Browns one? Cleveland Browns. They clinch a playoff berth. How about that? If the Cleveland Browns win with a combination of a Ravens, Dolphins, or Colts loss, all you got to do is beat the Jets and hope the Steelers beat the Colts. And they'll know if a win over the Jets gets in the playoff spot because the Dolphins play the Raiders on Saturday. That is entirely possible right there.
We will know.
How about that?
The Browns are winning the North. Come on, people.
The Indianapolis Colts have a playoff scenario. Well, we got the Titans one. We got the Titans one. Tennessee wins and they're in. Tennessee wins and they are in with an Indianapolis loss. That clinches the division. So that could be on the line on Sunday Night Football, huh? That's big for the Tennessee Titans. They can clinch the AFC South. Unbelievable. The Colts do not have a playoff winning scenario except for this one. The Colts have win and in and get a Ravens or Dolphins loss. Boy, that is how big is that Saturday game with the Dolphins and the Raiders?
Oh, baby.
That is a big
so
game.
So much riding on that game.
That is a lot. How many? Because you see how many people that can clinch if the Dolphins lose. The Dolphins lose this game. They are in dire straits. A lot of seats could be taken up, right?
Well, that's why if you look at Kornacki, the Ravens were at 80%.
So the Steelers, despite all this, all they got to do is beat the Colts and they clinch the division or hope that the Jets pull another miracle. I don't have that one. I could not emotionally handle that, all right? So. Chiefs are. They clinched the whole shooting match, man. The whole AFC shooting match. The Chiefs can clinch. All they got to do is beat the Falcons at home. Oh, my word.
They're repeating. Go with it.
I didn't think gosh.
Going.
All they got to do is beat the Falcons at home with a week 17. I mean, does it mean we see Chad Henne week 17?
Hey.
All right. Green Bay, if they win Sunday Night Football, they'll already know Seattle will have played the Rams. Hey, they can clinch the first. They can clinch the one. They can clinch the one.
What a year they've had, man.
So, Seahawks hosting the Rams. If they lose that early in the day, then we'll know on Sunday Night Football if the whole NFC shooting match is clinched.
Packers have the one seed. I think that clinches Rodgers MVP.
That's not a bad take. Seahawks will clinch the West if they beat the Rams. You can thank the Jets for that just one word clinching scenario up on the screen. Win. By the way, as it's also Russell's boy's name. Win.
It is. Win.
Hey, he just looks at his boy and he just knows that's our playoff clinching scenario. Saints clinch the South if they win on Christmas. Merry Christmas. And then the Bucks later on in the weekend, if the Vikings do. Let's put it this way for the Saints. If you lose this game, you're hoping for the Lions to beat the Bucks. Win the game, essentially. The Arizona Cardinals have a playoff clinching scenario. They are in the same boat as Jets fans. Go, Jacksonville, go.
They
are
in the playoff.
We're in the same boat. We are in the same boat, baby. And Arizona takes on San Francisco and the triple header on NFL Network on Saturday. So they'll know going into Sunday's action. And,
Nick Mullins might need Tommy John surgery.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
So it looks like C.J. Beathard in that game. Hey, that kid can play. And then the Bucs, all I got to do is win in Detroit, and they clinch a playoff spot. They haven't been in the playoffs since 2007. You know that?
Wow.
It's been a long time.
That was the Kurt crazy game against Green Bay, right? Was that that year?
I guess. Here's the Rams. All they got to do is they clinch a playoff berth that they win in Seattle. And the irony that the Rams can clinch a playoff spot if Jacksonville wins. Oh, the irony that the Rams and Jets might be in the same boat hoping for Jacksonville to come up with a win. Oh, the irony is just it's just choking me. It's just it's like a fog. I'm a broken man, okay? I'm a broken man, and wow. here is the NFC East. Again, because the Giants need to lose. So think about that, because the Giants, as you know, have the tiebreak over the Washington football team. If Washington wins, and then the Giants have to lose their football game against the Baltimore Ravens. So that looks pretty good. All they got to do is go into Carolina and have Ron Rivera win, and just make sure you keep Dwayne Haskins out from attempting to make it rain, and hope Alex Smith can go in this game.
Can you believe that happened?
I still can't believe that story.
I mean, that is crazy.
So those are your playoff clinching scenarios. I think we've ran through them all, right? Is that basically about it?
Yeah, Andrew also pointed out something we mentioned earlier. The Steelers cannot drop below the sixth seed if they lose out.
Okay.
They have the tiebreaker on the Dolphins.
Okay. People, honestly, there's a group of folks in the NFL who that's all they do is spend time on this. Yeah. I love these sort of scenarios. I just love the scenarios. I just love trying to know. And it's just interesting how many people are in the same Jets boat. Go, Gardner Minshew. You go. Gardner Minshew can clinch a playoff spot for the Rams, right? If I'm not mistaken. Gardner Minshew can clinch a playoff spot for the Rams and can also clinch a playoff spot for the Bucks and clinch Trevor Lawrence for the Jets in a way, or put the Jets back in pole position. Think about it. Think about the Christmas that Gardner Minshew can bring to so many people, make them so happy. Honestly. How about that? No, and I think Tampa will handle their own business in Detroit, obviously, and I think the Rams have an opportunity to win in Seattle. I just think it's so ironic that the Rams can get a playoff spot clinched if Jacksonville wins. Watch the Jets beat Baker Mayfield and turn me into a puddle of mud.
Oh,
puddle of mud, everybody.
That would be unlikely, but
puddle of mud.
But then if say Jacksonville does win, then you got to root for Bill Belichick in Week 17.
Puddle of Mud is...
I'm telling you, Rich.
You know what Puddle of Mud's from? You. Puddle of Mud Belichick's is... I don't know why that just popped into my head, but Alec Baldwin's imitation of Tony Bennett could be the greatest thing on Saturday Night Live history ever. And that's what that's from. About the band Puddle of Mud.
She hates me.
Oh, my gosh.
Bill's getting you, Rich. That's where it's going to happen.
Just, you know, Mike, I'm just... I'm done hearing you chirp in my ear about this.
Let's talk about Puddle of Mud.
I want to thank Rod Woodson, CC Sabathia, Frank Reich, Chris Long, and Craig Robinson. And thank you for taking in this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Tomorrow we'll be back with Kyle Brandt and so much more. Enjoy tonight's association tip.
Charge it to the Underhills,
too. Oh, by the way, too. DJ Armstrong's going to join us tomorrow as well to talk about the opening tip.
So for those listening to us on radio, we will see you on Wednesday. For those on Peacock, Brother from Another, we'll take you to that show in a second. Don't go anywhere. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.